Fundamentally Transforming America, part of the Bottom Line Show today. My name is Roger Marsh, joined in studio for this segment by a man who has kind of become an inadvertent expert in all things cyber safety. Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford is with me, and he's the founder of CyberSafetyCop.com. Clay, it's good to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Roger.
This is an issue, I mean, this cyber safety for you. In the Sheriff's Department, you were a school resource officer, and I want you to talk about what you did there because it's going to branch out into a longer conversation about sex trafficking and kids being victimized online. But talk about your days as an SRO.
Yes, as an SRO. My first day as an SRO, I walked into my middle school, and they had a 12-year-old girl waiting for me back in my office, and she was beside herself, crying, sobbing uncontrollably. And what happened over the summer, her then, you know, sixth grade boyfriend had talked her into sending a nude image of herself to him.
Sixth grader. So we're talking 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, so she was 12 at that time. She was a seventh grader coming into a brand new school, and she was very certain that he had shared this image with other people. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of my, you know, baptism fire.
Wow.
And sitting down with her and working through that, getting a hold of that boy, making sure that image was deleted, and then in the aftermath, really sitting down with her and her mom and talking about, you know, what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is that I hope that I had gotten that image all taken care of, but there was no guarantee. But what happens next? So I just can't tell them, you know, don't do it next time. Like, that's not going to make it. This parent needed some help. And so that was kind of the genesis for this program that I have, which is to educate and empower parents.
How many kids are sexting? Do they still call it sexting, or is there a different term for it?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Because it seems like the innocent enough sexting is, quite frankly, I mean, it seems like boys initiate a lot of this. Hey, show me a picture of your whatever, or I'll show you a picture of my whatever. That goes back to, you know, kindergarten, when boys and girls figure out they're different, and they used to do that rather innocently. By the time you hit 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, it's not so innocent anymore. Is that what sexting still entails?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, depending on what study you look at, I mean, we're looking at a large percentage, you know, maybe 20-25% of kids have either sexted or sent some kind of sexually suggestive image to another person.
And that doesn't necessarily mean a picture of themselves. When you talk about an image, it could be pornography or something like that they just found and they sent and said this.
It could be. But, you know, like, you know, a girl maybe her boyfriend wants her to send a nude image, and so she says, well, I won't do that, but maybe in my underwear or something like that.
Okay.
So viewing a pornography is a much bigger, more prolific than the sexting. And it has different consequences. But so we're dealing with way too many children doing this. And, you know, where is this coming from? I mean, these boys are saying they're expecting their girlfriend to do this. And then these girls are feeling like, I have to do this to show that I'm in a committed relationship, or this is normal.
Wow.
So this is a message that isn't coming out of nowhere. I mean, this is a message that is being kind of promulgated by our mass media. They want to sexualize our children.
Sure.
And they want to objectify women, and this is a general problem that, you know, pornography and human trafficking is all, you know, rather related to it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clay Cranford with me today here on The Bottom Line. He's written a book called Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to internet safety, also the founder of CyberSafetyCop.com. As we continue, we're going to talk about how something that seems as kind of, well, I don't want to say harmless, but stupid kids, you know, taking pictures of each other, you know, and sending them through the internet. What the connection is to pornography and to sex trafficking. I know it seems like a huge leap, but Officer Clay Cranford, the deputy sheriff, is going to talk about the realities of that. And we'll talk about that next as The Bottom Line continues.
You can email Roger when you go to thebottomlineshow.com.
2 years ago, Dennis Wilson introduced his alternative to putting money into CD, money market, or bank accounts that earn nothing. The very first K-Brite listener to call about it had $30,000 to work with.
I said, so tell me, what are you going to do with it? She says, well, I'm just going to leave it in the money market unless you have something better. And I said, well, if you leave it in the money market, you're going to make, what, $30 in interest, give or take? If we put it in a CD alternative, I think there's an excellent chance you'll earn, you know, $600 to $900. Instead of making $600 the first year, she actually earned $1,800 plus. The second year, she made almost the exact same amount. So she's made just under $4,000 in the CD alternative, whereas if she left her money in the money market, she would have made about $60. She's a happy camper.
Over the last 2 years, Dennis's CD alternative has earned K-Brite listeners from 5 to 9%, and it earns safely because you can't lose the principal, and your interest becomes guaranteed principal that you can't lose either. If your money is sitting in a bank, you can't afford not to call Wilson Financial Services at 800-696-9970. 800-696-9970.
Call Dennis Wilson right now and find out about the CD alternative. If you are in the process of selling your home and you're getting ready to move into another home, but you're going to have to park that money for a little while before you move into the new place, the CD alternative could be right for you. Find out more at 800-696-9970. Fundamentally Transforming America segment of the Bottom Line Show today. My name is Roger Marsh. We are talking about sex trafficking, sexual images online. If you have young kids with you, I know a lot of Bottom Line listeners are, picking up kids after school and taking them to practice or whatever time. This is probably a good time for you to say, I'm going to hear the podcast of this by myself, and that'll be up at thebottomlineshow.com after the show today. Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford with me in studio today. He's the founder of cybersafetycop.com, and this is a website and a movement for you, as you have shared with me in the past. This is not something that you're doing this just out of your heart as a dad, as a man of God, as a Orange County sheriff, saying, look, I'm seeing this on campuses. I'm seeing the sixth graders sexting each other. I see the connection to the porn industry and to sex trafficking, and parents need to be aware of it, not in a hysterical way, but in a very, very informed way. Let's talk about the connections now. Sex trafficking has become a big topic for people in the church. I think just because we had to get over the initial shock that it was actually happening right here in our state. Talk about the problem from your perspective in terms of what does social media do to enable, encourage the sex trafficking industry?
Sure. Well, parents need to get over kind of their squeamish feelings about talking to their kids about pornography and sex, because they're not having that conversation. Kids think that, you know, viewing this stuff online is not that big a deal. And what we've discovered is that kids as young as, you know, between 9 and 12 are being exposed to hardcore pornography online. And
typically on their phones and mobile devices.
Especially on their phones and mobile devices. I mean, Playboy magazine is no longer...
I read that.
Yeah, no longer including nude images in their magazine, because they're like, why bother?
Right.
It's on the internet everywhere.
And that's an important distinction for a lot of parents. There are those who said, hey, isn't this great? We're winning the culture war because Playboy is not going to put nude pictures in. But the reality is they see an increase in readership when they don't... Literally, that whole we read it for the articles, that's the brand that they have now. That's what people are consuming from Playboy, because as you mentioned, there are... How many billions of sites are there online?
Yeah, there are billions, and it's a huge money maker. And when we look at the most prolific search term on pornographic websites was the term teen. So teen, more than 3 billion times is being searched for.
So when people are searching for pornography online, they're looking for teenagers.
They're looking for teenagers.
Okay.
So right there, teens are a target. Mm-hmm. And so now the teens are on social media, and they're on social media platforms that that make hiding your identity really easy. And there's a lot of examples of, child pornographers or pedophiles using these platforms to exploit kids, and especially the kids who have some emotional needs, right? They, and every kid will fall into this category at one time another in their life, right?
Well, it's kind of their job description through adolescence.
Yeah.
You're just all sorts of hormones and drama, and there's going to be one of those days when you're just wide open and you really don't know what's going on, and that could be that moment.
Yeah, I mean, all people do, but especially kids want somebody to love and care about them, and they go into a platform and they're communicating with another person, and this person's saying, no, you're wonderful, you're great. And they manipulate them into maybe sending them a nude image.
Do they still call that process grooming?
It is.
Yeah.
And processing it, the word process is really the important.
Yeah. It's not a for years. And I'm talking with Officer Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clay Cranford today here on the Bottom Line. If you're just tuning in, he's the founder of cybersafetycop.com. For years, and when my kids are 21, 25, 28. My kids were from the era of we did the fingerprinting, don't talk to strangers in the park, look out for the guy with the trench coat and the high top tennis shoes. I mean, there was so much concern about the snatch and grab until people started doing the math and saying, hey, wait a minute, 85% of those types of abductions are people that you already know. The cyber world, it's a whole different ballgame, and it takes time. It's not like one click is going to get your kid, you know, abducted. It's like you mentioned, the process takes time.
So when I ask parents, where is the safest place for your kid to be? I've asked this to thousands of parents when I teach my workshop across the United States. They always get the same answer: in my home. And the reason is that they feel like they're able to kind of control the outside world's access to their kid. But here's what happens now. Instead of your kid being just exposed to the people in their neighborhood or your city, they go into their room, they take out their pocket, their mobile device, and now they're exposed to not just those people, maybe 100,000 people in your city. They're exposed to 3 billion people on the internet, and those people are in your kid's room with them.
Right, right. And you can get that one-to-one conversation. I mean, that lonely teenager who's having one of those days, rather emotional, looking for affirmation, it's a young girl who doesn't think she's pretty, and some guy with a fake profile starts messaging her back and forth, and oh, you're beautiful and you're great, tell me about yourself, and it fills that emotional need for them for a time.
It does, and it becomes a real relationship for them, and the person is manipulating that kind of weakness that they have. They need someone to care about them and give them that affirmation, and then what happens is that child becomes complicit in their own victimization. They will find opportunities to communicate with that person. They will hide that from mom and dad. And if that person says, hey, meet me at the mall or outside your home at, you know, 10 p.m., that kid will hide that from their parent and go meet that person, who's become maybe the most important person in their life over that process of grooming.
Talking with Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford today here on The Bottom Line. His new book is called Parenting in a Digital World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. It's up at thebottomlineshow.com. And we're talking about the issue of sex trafficking, grooming, how young children can be abducted and victimized. Clay, I'm going to ask a tender question here, especially for Christian parents who are listening right now. My concern is that there are some people who are Christ followers who say, boy, that really is too bad for other people's kids. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to happen to my kid because she's in church every week, because he goes to a Christian high school, because they've got really good Christian friends, and we're super connected with all of our Christian friends in our network here. Does this discriminate?
It doesn't. I mean, if you are really involved in your kid's life, I mean, that is the number one safety factor for your kid. But that doesn't mean your kid could not be a victim or attempted victim of something like this. And I mean, you may have a situation where they make one mistake, mm-hmm. where they get, coerced into sending an image. And then that person who now has that image can say, if you don't want your mom and dad to see this nude image you sent, then you're going to do X, Y, and Z for me online, mm-hmm. maybe on a camera. So there is kind of, there's the Romeo kind of person who's going to create a relationship with that kid. Or you might have more of a coercion, kind of a more like sextortion type situation where they're going to get a kid who makes one little mistake. Kids make mistakes all the time.
Sure they do.
And use that against them to make, to really kind of dig in and really exploit them.
Well, we know that there have been some strides made, just if nothing more, in the awareness of sex trafficking and what parents can do to stop it, what churches can do to stop it. Talking with Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford today here on The Bottom Line, the founder of CybersafetyCop.com and author of the book Parenting in a Digital World, A Step-by-Step Guide to Internet Safety. As we continue, we're going to talk about some of the steps we can take, not only to safeguard kids — we can't bubble wrap them, but we can start having meaningful dialogue — and then also how to spot something like this if it's happening in your home. Nobody wants to identify a big problem, but if you're driving a car with a flat tire, at some point you have to say, hey, there's a flat tire, I got to fix it. You may have a child who's being victimized right now, living in your home, and you're just paralyzed with fear. What do I do? What are some steps I can take? I'll talk about that with Clay Cranford coming up next as The Bottom Line continues.
More discerning talk in a moment.
K-Bright is creating a new, extremely affordable way for Christian schools to introduce themselves to the K-Bright family. There's no question many California schools have problems: overcrowded classrooms, poor learning performance, and curriculums that concern many Christian parents. But we know that throughout our listening area, there are private Christian schools that are doing a better job with smaller classrooms, superior academics, and a commitment to teach within the truth of Scripture. We at K-Bright believe in Christian schools and want to create a way for you to learn about the good ones. So if you run or work at a Christian school, let's talk about a unique, affordable opportunity for visibility that we are putting together just for Christian schools. Call us at 714-754-4450 and ask for Sarah Jackson. And if your child attends a fantastic Christian school, let them know we are creating an extremely low-cost way to promote it to the K-Bright family in your area. Just give them the same number, 714-754-4450. We believe connecting people to a Christian education is important enough to create an affordable way for your school to reach K-Bright listeners in all Southern California counties. Let us tell you about it. 714-754-4450.
Almost home from work? You can listen to Roger on the free TuneIn app. Go to thebottomlineshow.com to download.
Clayton Cranford, my guest in studio today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Clayton is a Orange County Deputy Sheriff. He's also the founder of CybersafetyCop.com and author of the book Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to internet safety, which is also up at thebottomlineshow.com. And Clayton's passion for helping parents and helping kids to avoid the pitfalls of, and there's no good side to sexting. There's no good side to, you know, internet usage for sex trafficking and human trafficking and that sort of thing. But it's a reality, too. And Clay, before we get any further into, like, solutions, I want you to help us frame the conversation here, because a lot of people over the past couple of years are now painfully aware of the human trafficking situation. There's labor trafficking. There's, you know, kind of indentured servanthood. There's also the sex trafficking side of it. Sex trafficking gets a lot of headlines because, quite frankly, it involves sex, and the media likes to, they figure it sells. What are the statistics like here on the West Coast? What's it like in terms of, should a parent be concerned about a kid being abducted, groomed into sex trafficking?
Well, I mean, when you look at the most, like, I mean, the hotbed of human trafficking, we're in the top three. So you have Los Angeles, you have San Diego, and these are major destinations for tourists and for conventions, et cetera. So and Las Vegas would be another one, but we are definitely in an area where this is a problem. And before, I think people were more concerned about, you know, if my kid was a runaway, that's, you know, the runaway was the kid who was more likely going to be trafficked, for instance. But now with the internet and with social media and with pornography and everything, it's really become a problem that's moved into the suburbs, into our families, and every student, every kid that I've talked to and who's been a victim of this, or every parent who's had a child a victim of this, always say the same thing. I never thought this could happen to me or my kid.
I had a conversation with a young woman by the name of Annie Donawald, and she's got a ministry out of Chicago. And her story was, her dad was a Division I NCAA basketball coach. And she had kind of wandered in her faith and went off to college. Second year of college, she and a bunch of girlfriends are walking down the street one night. They go past a club that had an amateur strip night, you know, grand prize, $250. They'd had a little bit to drink. And she says, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen was she spent the next 7 years as a sex, being trafficked for sex. And it was eventually, I mean, she's got a ministry now where she goes in and rescues those girls. But she said, it was that one night. If we just keep walking, my whole life is different. But that one night, a bunch of my girlfriends, come on, let's do it, it'll be fun. And they went in. 19-year-old girl from a Christian home. Next thing you know, she's stripping. She won the contest. But the guy who was the prize winner was a pimp. And it changed her whole life. So you talk about those one. I mean, I don't say that to scare parents, but at the same time, we have to realize, because of the internet and because of the accessibility people now have to potential victims, that one false move, you've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. And, you know, we can look at also examples of kids, you know, they're growing up in a, you know, in a reality TV kind kind of environment where they think, you know, if I don't go to college, I'll just make it as a, you know, reality TV star. They think this is a real thing. And so they may go online looking for opportunities. Hey, I'm good looking. I got a great voice. And if you go on there and do some searching for modeling opportunities or for talent opportunities, you may end up at a, you know, classifieds type of website and respond to an ad that you see there. And that's one I've talked to several survivors of human trafficking, and were invited to, like, kind of a modeling party type situation. Yep. And with drugs and alcohol, their inhibitions being lowered, they end up having sex with some of the, you know, quote unquote gentlemen there. And
the investors, right?
The CEO, they're
the
very
producers,
the very wealthy CEOs that are invited to this.
This is what all the other girls have done who have made it successful on whatever the show is.
One girl who I spoke to wanted to be one of the dancers in a rap video. So this is she went to Las Vegas to meet a famous rapper there and to be in his video. He was going to be shooting that weekend. Well, she finds out that there is no rap video. There is going to be no shoot. And then once they're kind of culled out of their family and out of that into that, you know, environment, they are really trapped. And so that's why law enforcement has changed our perspective. We don't look at the girls who are being trafficked as perpetrators. They're victims. We don't arrest these girls anymore.
And
we
I'm
get
grateful they've changed the laws on that. Talking with Officer Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford today here on The Bottom Line, who's the founder of CybersafetyCop.com. One of the best step forward I've seen, at least in our state, is to say, look, if you've got an underage girl or boy who's involved in the sex trades or whatever, they're a victim first, they're not a perpetrator of a crime. And I know that seems so very basic, but talk about why that's important, that distinction. It says law enforcement is changing the way they look at these kids, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, they've really been brainwashed. And even adults. I mean, we look at children maybe a little more sympathetically, but even adults. I mean, the average age that a person who's trafficked gets into the life is a child, usually 12 to 13 or 14. So they start young. We may find them when they're in their 20s, and although they're living a horrible life, they're being abused because they've been groomed, mm-hmm. okay, and they're being really brainwashed by their pimp. They don't feel like they can leave, even though there's no chains, there's no locks on the doors. But they psychologically have created their own prison, and they can't leave. So when a law enforcement officer contacts these people, they're usually not very cooperative. Mm-hmm. And so that's really kind of we as law enforcement officers, we need to be more compassionate, more understanding of what's going on here, so we can get them help.
As we are continuing, I've got one more segment with Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford today here on The Bottom Line and his CybersafetyCop.com website. As we continue, holiday season, this is the time when a lot of people are traveling right now, and you're going to find yourself in restaurants, hotels, places where you don't normally travel. And yet there are hotbeds, as you mentioned, the tourist traps for the holidays. People are coming out and they're, you're in the town, let's go to the amusement park or whatever. I want you to talk to our listening audience here, our listening congregation, about ways that you can keep an eye out for this type of thing, too. I mean, we're talking about protecting your kids, but also be on the lookout, too, for someone who might be being victimized in a trafficking situation, because they are a lot more prevalent than many of us would like to even think or imagine. I'm Roger Marsh. More of this conversation as The Bottom Line continues.
Hey, this is Chris Dowling, the director of Where Hope Grows, and you're listening to The Bottom Line.
Stephen R. Golden helped save my home, period.
That's a listener named Stuart who faced foreclosure when he tried to get a loan modification from his bank.
I had a divorce, and I lost a good job, and it was just, hard to get on my feet again, and so I applied for a mod. The bank led me to believe that I could get one. I definitely qualified, but then they turned it down, and I reapplied, and they turned it down, and then I said, okay, fine, I surrender. I tried to short sale, and they wouldn't even give me a short sale. So they dragged their feet in total for about 3 years.
Calling Stephen Golden put the firm's reputation, expertise, and legal muscle on Stewart's side, and that changed everything.
One day, the bank just caved, and they gave me my mod. Stephen R. Golden was used by the Lord to help save my home.
Don't let your bank string you along into foreclosure. Call Stephen R. Golden at 626-228-2710 so you can get off the bank's merry-go-round and on the road to a real solution for your pending foreclosure. 626-228-2710.
You need good, competent, ethical representation if you want to keep your home. You can't do it alone.
Listen to what Stuart said. You may be in this situation right now, and Thanksgiving's not going to be a fun holiday for you because you got the bank breathing down your neck. But are they really seriously trying to help you, or are they trying to squeeze you into a foreclosure? Stephen R. Golden can get the answer you need at 626-228-2710. I'm Roger Marsh, Fundamentally Transforming America segment of The Bottom Line Show today. Go to cybersafetycop.com and learn what we've been talking about. Go a little more in depth. Officer Clayton Cranford with me, a member of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. He's a deputy sheriff there. He's been a school resource officer and has really dedicated this season of life to helping parents, helping educators, helping kids to see the dangers of social media, how sex trafficking is a reality, sexting, and what you call sextortion.
Yes, sextortion.
Which is where someone is coercing somebody else either to provide that type of material to them, or once they've done it, now it's you're going to do these things for me because if you don't, I'll tell the whole world what's going on. You have been privileged over the past year or so to start traveling more and speaking to parents, schools, PTAs about this type of stuff. What kinds of questions are you getting? What kinds of conversations are you having?
Yeah, it's a real privilege to talk to thousands of parents all over the United States and educators and law enforcement officers who really care about keeping kids safe. Probably the number one question I get from parents is, when should I give my child a phone? And it's interesting, you know, I didn't grow up with a phone, and it seems like that's a necessity when a kid hits, you know, fifth grade now. But I tell parents that, you know, there should be a necessity. I wouldn't give it strictly just because everybody else in your child's class has one. But if you do give your kid a phone, especially you upgrade to the new iPhone perhaps, and you have the old iPhone laying around, and you think, well, you know, we'd like to give him the phone, but so we'll just give him this one. It doesn't cost us anything. Okay, great. But before you do that, please turn on the parental controls and restrictions so that your child is not walking around with a device that gives them unfettered access to the internet and social media, because before long, you're gonna wake up one morning and you're gonna have law enforcement knocking your door, your principal calling you, or your child coming to you crying because they got involved in some situation online. You didn't even know they had social media like you know, Instagram, and it could be pretty traumatic.
And they did something innocently enough that wound up setting off all sorts of alarms. I mean, from what you've been talking about the past half hour, that a lot of times it's not like kids are malicious and they're, I mean, evil and horrible and they're looking for these things online. I just can't wait to get a phone and go do this. But rather, they're just innocently enough putting pictures up on Instagram or Snapchat, and next thing you know, they're getting responses from people who are leading them down paths that they're not prepared to handle.
No, they're not. I mean, I had a parent bring her 12-year-old daughter into my office this last school year, and she was getting contacted by male adults online because she went on to a Instagram account that was for people who are interested in One Direction, which is a musical band.
That very, very popular, so I'm sure millions of people use it.
Very popular. Yeah. Her friends at school weren't into One Direction, so who does she go to? She wants to talk to people who are into what she's into. And if you're a pedophile or you want to, you know, if you're an adult and you want to exploit a kid, you go to where the kids are at.
Sure.
And you can go there and you can create an account. And she just did not understand, this 12-year-old girl, and rightly so, what's at stake, the danger here. And
because it wouldn't occur to her that there would be a bad guy on the One Direction thing. She's thinking, it's 12-year-old girls like me. We love this band. We want to use this site. We want pictures of the guys. We want to find out what their favorite puppy is. You know, whatever the things that 12-year-old girls are, it never occurs to a 12-year-old.
No, and her mom picks up her phone one day and sees that she's receiving text messages from a man in Los Angeles who wants to meet her daughter. So that's usually what happens. And even then, this 12-year-old girl didn't quite understand that this was a major problem. So I tell parents, you know, your child's brain is developing, especially that part of their brain that is used for making decisions, the prefrontal cortex. It's not developed at that age. And that's biologically, they're just not good at making choices. So as a parent, you need to be their prefrontal cortex until they can start making better decisions. We need to step in and help them. I mean, it's really not fair, right? We're giving them a device that allows them to make a mistake and it to be permanently emblazed on the internet forever and ever, and we're not preparing for it. So it's just not fair.
Two takeaways from our conversations, Clay, and I'm going to attribute them both to you. The first is social media has no context, and the second is parents, be the prefrontal cortex.
That's right.
Did I get that right?
You got it.
Yeah, okay, good. That's going to be embossed on a T-shirt somewhere because hopefully we'll – I mean, we're having a chuckle about, you know, that kind of scientific technological example. But the reality is we love our children and grandchildren. We want them to have good experiences with social media and the internet. They need it for school. I mean, there's no question about that. And you can learn so much. It's not an all bad place, but there are some creeps and there is evil in the world, and they're going to make their lives miserable, our kids, if we don't take the necessary precautions.
No, exactly. I mean, these people who want to exploit children know that if they're driving through your neighborhood in their, you know, blacked out, you know, panel van or something, or they're hanging out at the park, people are going to call because it's suspicious, it's out of the ordinary. They have an environment where they can talk to kids all day long, and they can do it anonymously and from the comfort of their own home. So it's problematic, but it's not an impossible situation. Parents, if you get involved with what your kid's doing online, you know your kid's usernames and passwords for all their social media accounts, and you log on and you look at what's going on, you will know when there's a problem. It's not something beyond a parent. Parents can get involved and help.
And mom and dad, if your 12-year-old gives you static about knowing your username and password, all you have to do is remind them, I'm paying for this. So therefore, I get to know.
That's right. I mean, the first thing would be to explain to your child that their expectation of privacy is zero.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I tell parents, when you're searching their room every day, you should be looking for red flags.
Yeah.
And if you see something, then you're going to go to your kid and talk to him about it. This is what I tell my kids. I love you too much not to
Amen.
Fill in the blank, right?
Amen.
I love you too much not to ask you about this stuff. I love you too much not to follow what you're doing on social media. And when you put it in that context, I mean, kids, they may not like it initially, but it's going to make sense.
Right. Outwardly, they're screaming, I hate you. Inwardly, they're screaming, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Orange County Deputy Sheriff Clayton Cranford, thank you so much for the book, Parenting in a Digital World, a step-by-step guide to internet safety. We've got a link up at thebottomlineshow.com and also a link to cybersafetycop.com as well, too. Clay, thanks for stopping by, and thanks for the good work you do and for being with me here on The Bottom Line.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay, as we continue, since Clayton brought this up in terms of law enforcement and whatnot, one of his first